The Gist. Health update. A nearby fire forced me to break camp, which inevitably interrupted my recovery. Things are looking up now, though. The study, entitled Central Origin of Fatigability in Myalgic Encephalomyelitis Chronic Fatigue Syndrome Revealed by Multimodal Neuroimaging, is a follow-up of NATH's 2024 Intramural Deep Phenotyping ME/CFS study and used some of the same participants. Using a hand grip test in which participants attempted to maintain force as their muscles became fatigued, the researchers measured electrical activity and oxygenation and blood flow in the brain, as well as electrical activity in the muscles. The ME/CFS patients were able to produce normal amounts of force at the beginning of the study, but then declined quickly. The brains of the healthy controls showed a continued increase in brain electrical activity as their brains sent signals to recruit more and more muscle units as their muscles became fatigued. The brains of the ME/CFS patients, though, showed a quick uptick in electrical activity and then a quick decline. For whatever reason, their brains did not engage in the muscle recruitment process, resulting in a quick reduction in force and increased fatigue. The same pattern repeated itself with the blood flow oxygenation imaging. While the healthy controls recruited a wide swath of brain regions as they worked to keep their hand grip force up, the ME/CFS patients did not. It was as if their brains were sitting the exercise out. A test assessing how well the brains were communicating with the muscles and vice versa suggested that the brains of both groups were communicating okay with the muscles. But the muscles of the ME/CFS group were not communicating well with the brain. The strangest finding came, though, when they found that, electrically at least, the muscles of the ME/CFS patients never seemed to be in a fatigued state. When muscles became fatigued and ATP production drops, their electrical frequencies drop. This happens in the healthy controls, but despite the fact that the ME/CFS patients' muscles quickly stopped producing normal amounts of force, this never happened with them. That led the authors to the odd conclusion that their muscles did not enter a state of normal fatigue. How to explain that? While the authors emphasized that the process was not conscious or deliberate, they fell back on some old canards. Fear, pain, and issues with perceived effort could have all stopped the brain from engaging properly during the exercise and failing to recruit new muscles. While they noted that their study could not confirm this, they suggested that fatigue in ME/CFS is caused by the brain, and that centrally acting drugs and/or magnetic stimulation might help the brain engage in exercise more. That was the end of the paper, but that's not the end of the story. The muscles send signals to the brain as well, and it's possible that damaged muscle could be telling the brain to shut down and stop recruiting them. The authors discarded this possibility because their rather primitive muscle biopsies did not reveal any problems. The biopsies done, though, were examined for gross structural defects and did not assess muscle physiology, which could have been impaired without the muscles showing dramatic structural problems. Rob Wust has dug much deeper into long COVID patients' muscles before and after exercise, and he has discovered exactly the type of physiological problems in them that the NIH team didn't even look for. Plus, Wust's lab work found that muscles that had been separated from the brain were still unable to generate energy. That suggests that an inherent energy problem exists in the muscles. His newer work has found significant muscle damage in both ME/CFS and long COVID patients. If Wust is correct, damaged muscles could be telling the brain to shut down and stop trying to recruit them. Another less likely possibility is that the brain's inability to recruit enough muscles causes the ones that have been recruited to become overloaded and then damaged. They would then send messages to the brain to shut down. The most interesting possibility, though, concerns a paper Health Rising reported on several years ago. Adding infectious factors to the brains of laboratory animals produced neuroinflammation and reduced mitochondrial activities in the muscles, but did not disrupt the muscle fibers. This hypothesis neatly ties together infectious onset, neuroinflammation, Jared Younger, and a kind of muscle fatigue that would not show up in the tests the Bedard group did. Interestingly, preliminary results from the Open Medicine Foundation muscle biopsy study suggest that the mitochondria are indeed affected in ME/CFS. It's clearly time for comprehensive studies that assess brain activity, muscle metabolism and activity, blood flows, and immunology to see if we can get at the driver of the mysterious fatigue found in these diseases. Support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. At this point in the text version of the gist, you'll see a link where you can easily give one time or set up a monthly donation. Thanks for listening.